the staff of the committee and the department and all the interested parties. Let me welcome you in this committee meeting. Unfortunately, we also meet today after the other shocking news, where it is reported that again in Krugersdorp, approximately 21 suspected illegal miners have been discovered, their bodies discovered in Krugersdorp, which poses a huge challenge. We were just last week getting the shocking news of the withdrawal of the charges against the suspects with regards to the massive rape that took place in the same area. Poses a huge challenge to the lawmakers, in particular to us as a responsible committee when it comes to issues that relate to mining and energy. And hopefully we will one day be able to find a solution on this huge challenge. Without any further delays, because I know today it's a Friday, and it's a day that we all agreed that we will try and put, I don't want to say light stuff, but not comprehensive stuff, something that we may be able to quickly find one another, hopefully, so that members, those who are traveling on Fridays, can also be able to be allowed to travel. I must also say that I made an error or a mistake not to announce or to make them honorable members aware that we have lost the chairperson of IGES, which is an entity under SF in the department. And I'm told yesterday was her memorial service, and tomorrow is the funeral service. That's the chair of IGES, Ms. Nelly Siwe Magubane. I hope we'll be able to get the details. I'm still trying to see whether I can be able to make it probably to the funeral tomorrow. So that is the sad news and the sad part of what we got. And I'm sure also department, they might have slipped their mind also to make the committee aware of such a sad incident. And I think I won't be doing injustice when I say on behalf of this committee, we extend our condolences to the family of the late chairperson Magubane, the department, and the family of the SAF group of entities on this sad occasion. And we hope that the soul of the departed, Nelly Siwe Magubane, will rest in eternal peace. Without any further delays, can I check, are there any apologies?
Morning, Chair. Morning, members. Just to indicate, Chair, that we have not received any apologies from the members. And just to indicate as well that Ayanda is on leave, Chair. So it's only me and Sibu today, Chair. Those are the apologies.
Okay.
Chair.
Yes, Honorable Lana.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to you and the committee members and everyone on the platform. I thought Honorable McDowell had registered her apology today, so I'm not sure if it was the network problem or what, but I got, as in yesterday, she had sent it to Ayanda. So I just wanted to register her apologies. I know it should be through the secretary, but I got her registered since I did not hear it from Ariko.
Okay, no problem. If it is not mentioned, it is allowed for a member who is present to register the apology of a colleague who is not in the meeting. I think the apology is noted. We take it that there is an apology for Honorable Madova. Can we then flag the agenda, Aaron? It's only one item, Honorable Members. That is the proposed program or activity around the upstream petroleum resources development bill. That is only what we'll be dealing with, in particular the trust program, in terms of the public hearings. Can you take us through a revenue of that program?
Thank you, Chair. So the document was developed by Sibu Chair. It just highlights per province the various district municipalities in the respective provinces. Now, the parts in yellow highlights the areas or municipalities where the committee undertook public hearings on the guest amendment bill, Chair. So I don't know how you want me to do this, Chair. Are we going to do it per province, finish up one province, and then move on to the next one? Or how do you want to do it, Chair? Because members need to agree and identify on the areas that we need to go to, Chair. I'm waiting, Chair.
I'm talking, probably I'll finish in 1 minute, talking when they close the screen. Sorry, I muted myself, I didn't notice. No, I'm saying, shouldn't we start first on the issue with regards to the oral submissions or written submissions, and then we deal with the issue of the public hearings as per the agreement of the committee. But we can do it either way. I don't think it's a problem on this one.
But just to indicate, say, it will be quick as well. With regard to the oral submissions, we've scheduled it for the Friday, the 18th of November, Chair. There's about 10 submissions who requested to make oral submissions to the committee. So we will be able to finish up for that one day, Chair, Friday the 18th, as I say. So, yeah, so that's it in a nutshell, Chair.
It is on the adopted committee program.
Correct.
Yes. Okay, Honorable Members, that is the first one that we have to dispense with. I think from where we are, I'm sitting, it's befitting for members to get also a proper and a necessary briefing. When looking at the program of the committee, I think that should be the starting point from my side. We've looked at it, we agree in terms of what should be the principle guiding the public hearing. The first thing is that it is quite clear it would be impossible to do the public hearings this year. And therefore, we want to take the public hearings on the second or third week, depending on when Parliament is opening of January, and start with the public hearings. The second thing as a matter of principle is that there was a big complaint when we were dealing with the gap about the areas that we cover. And therefore, we will then set at least a minimum of 4 instead of 2 or 3 in many of these areas. that we must touch the province, but different districts. Second, we said we should not go to the, we'll avoid repeating the same places or areas where we were, except if the situation so demands. For an example, it might be impossible to not to do Nelson Mandela Bay, but you may end up not choosing Gqeberha, or if you choose Gqeberha, not taking the same venue that we have. For an example, if you go to Gqeberha, you may choose to take something like in Motherwell or Malqali, if there's water hall, or what are those areas, Sweden, if there is, or Kwazakhele, or even Utenik as an area. So it depends. You may have there are places like your Mission Vale, all those areas that we may identify, but that is what we take as a principle. Equally, you may not teach when you go to Durban, it may not necessarily be Durban, as we were in Westfield or the City Hall in Durban. It could be any other area, whether in Pinetown or in Umlazi, Manzintoti, all these different areas. We may have to make those considerations, or going to Potchefstroom, Pietermaritzburg, Stanger. So what we said, we must try and spread as much as possible the alternative venues, so that we are not interpreted as if we target. There is only one place that you can go in the province. Although we are going for a different program now, or a different bill. I think that's what time has done us with Ari. Then Ari, can you then take us through? I must say, honorable members, we are open to suggestions in any of these areas where members feel that it may not be a good or a suitable area to go by each of them knowing the area. Specifically. So can I give it to you, Ari, then to take us through?
Chairperson?
Yes, Honourable Mayor.
Chairperson, two issues, if I may, and greetings to you and the committee, and thank you very much for the preparation work that Ari has done on this. But two issues that I wish to bring to your attention. The first is that, Chairperson, I think that as a matter of principle, we should focus on those areas that are most likely to be affected by the legislation. In other words, when we're talking about upstream petroleum development, for example, and we're looking at coastal provinces, we should be looking at port areas that are affected by the upstream petroleum development, because that's where it's loaded and offloaded. I'm not saying exclusively, I'm just saying that seems to be a logical step as far as I'm concerned. The second issue, Chair, is this. This process for the Gas Amendment Bill took a lot of time and cost an enormous amount of money. And my question is whether or not we could reach into some of these areas through the constituency offices or even through the municipal offices and do public hearings virtually and save time, specifically travel time, as well as enormous expense to Parliament. And I'd really like some clarity on that, because I think it's a way forward that we should be investigating. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I'm not sure whether we must go ahead on this or we then deal with the issues. But can we park the comments of Honorable Mailem and agree that as we present, we will take into cognition. We will then have comments after. For an example, if we say Eastern Cape, like we start, we say the district is Alfred, so these are the areas that we are targeting, we then deal with that. Second part, when members make the comment, is what is suggested, whether it is Cape catered for in the system we use, or it will how flexible the system that we can apply and to which area. Can we first go through this, and then I will take and the first comment is not me, madam, I'm just facilitating the meeting. I can try and myself participate in that discussion instead of giving an answer that this is what will happen. But I wish to, if the members allow me, that we first go through this. Just take us through, Ari. Even if you, my take is that this, what is presented here, is just proposal. And then that's why I said we must apply flexibility when members would want to motivate for some of the areas where we need to go instead of what is being suggested. Can we allow Ari to go through that, and then we will come back to those comments. I've noted the honorable mention.
Chair.
Yes, Honorable Lana.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Maybe before Ari takes us through, so that maybe one is able to process Honorable Mailem's proposal as well. I just wanted clarity or to check with Honorable Mailem through you, Chair. What does he mean when he says maybe some areas we can cover them virtually? If I can get clarity on that, thank you very much.
Can I please? I'm not running away. My issue is that. That is why I said we may then ask motivations when members are making that, including the clarity that you are seeking. Can we pack it, please? I'm not suppressing you. Can we pack it so that we deal with the issue holistically, including the points that you are raising? Because in my view, that's why I said I don't want to say I can give clarity. All that I'm saying, I can participate in that discussion. I just request that. I take point of what you say. That clarity will also be sought when we have done with the problem. Can we allow Ari to continue?
Thanks, Chair. So, first province, Eastern Cape. We've identified six districts, Chair, in the Eastern Cape: Alfred and Zo, Amatole, Rosani, so Gabi, O.R. Tambo, Tara Barbang. First, the Alfred and Zo District, the Matitiel Local Municipality, Ntabankulu Local Municipality, Mzumbubu Local Municipality, Winnie Marie Kazela Mandela Local Municipality. Amatole District, Amahlathi Local Municipality, Great Kay Local, Mbashe Local Municipality, Nguma Local Municipality, Uswa Local Municipality, Raben, Mhlaba, and Nelson Mandela Bay, the Metro. Kruishani District, Emalahleni Local Municipality, Ngobo Local Municipality, Ino Nkijima Local Municipality, Nchika Yetu Local Municipality, Nguba, Yetemba Local Municipality, Zakisizwe Local Municipality, Dogabi District, Elundini Local, Sengu Local, Walter Sisulu Local Municipality, O.R. Tambo District, Inguza Hill Local Municipality, King Sabata Dalindebo Local, Mhlontlolo, Mhlontlo Local Municipality, Niandeni Local, Port St. John's Local Municipality. Sara Bartman District, Blue Crane Route Local, Dr. Bayers Nudir Local, Uha Local, Kokama Local, Makana Local, Ndlambe Local, Sundays River Valley Local Municipality. So those are for the Eastern Cape Chair. Then proceed to the Western Cape Chair.
Yes.
I see Mr. Mylam's hand is raised there.
Nothing. Continue.
Okay. Wait.
Western Cape by district municipalities. Cape Winelands District, Central Karoo District, Garden Route District, Overberg District, West Coast District. Starting with Cape Winelands District, Beder Valley Local, Drakenstein Local, Langeberg Local, Stellenbosch Local, Witzenberg Local Municipalities. Central Karoo District, Beaufort West, Laingsburg, Prince Albert Local Municipalities. Garden Route District, Pito Local, George Local, Ezekwa Local, Kanaland Local, Nesna Local, Mossel Bay Local, and Oudtshoorn Local Municipality. Overberg District, Cape Agulhas Local, Overstrand Local, Swellendam Local, Eewaterskloof Local Municipality. West Coast District, Bergrivier Local, Sierenberg Local, Maxikama Local, Daldanna Bay Local, Swartland Local Municipalities. 3. The Northern Cape. The following districts: Francis Baard District, John Tualoga-Tsewe District, Namakwa District, Ixhlikasemi District, ZF Mukau District. Starting with Francis Baard District in the Northern Cape, Ikgatlong Local, Magareng Local, Pokwane Local, Solplaatje Local. John Tuale Gatsewe, Gatsewe District Municipality, Gasegoni. Gasegonyana Local, Gamagara Local, Jomorolong Local, Namakwa District. Antam, Kamiesberg, Karoo Hoogland, Kaima Local, Namakoi Local, en de Richtersveld Local. Ixhlikasemi District, Ematanzeni Local, Karierberg, Van Nosterberg, Siban Puma Local, Siatemba Local, Tembe Ile Local, Ubuntu Local, Umzombuvo Local. ZF Mahua District, Ikeis Local, David Kripper, Kai Garib, Tatlepole Local, Itzabane, Ntsan Sabane Local. Number 4, KwaZulu-Natal. The following districts: Amajuba District, Eriguala, Ilembe, Kingseswayo, Ugu, Umgungungluvo District, Makanyakude District, Umzinyati, Utukela, Zululand District, Amajubu District, Enhauser Local, Emadlangeni Local, Newcastle Local, Eriguala District, Dr. Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma Local, Greater Kokstad, Ubuhlebezwe Local, Umzumkulu Local, Ilembe District, Kwadukuza, Mandeni, Mapumulu, Mapumulu, I always used to struggle with this one. Mapumulu Local, Ndwedwe Local, King Setswayo District, City of Umtatuzi Local, Motanzenene Local, Kandla, Umfolozi, Umlazi Local, and Ijikweni Municipality, Ugu District, Rai Mkonyeni Local, Umdoni Local, Umuziwa Bantu Local, Umzembe Local, Umgulgulubo District, Impendeli Local, Umkambantini, Umpofana, Umzunduzi, Richmond, Umgeni, and Umswati Local Municipalities.
Kude District, Big Five, Slabase Local, Dozini, Umtubatuba Local, Umslabavulungana Local Municipalities, Umzinyati District, Endumeni, Butu, Umsinga, Umvoti Local Municipalities, Uteka District, Dalfreduma, Nkosi, Langa, Libalele Local, and Okabaslamba Local Municipality, Zululand, Abakulusi Local, Edembe Local, Nongama Local, Ulundi Local, Upangola Local Municipality. Then we move on to the Free State, five districts, Peselidaba District, Lejuputswa District, Tabo Mafutsanyana District, Khalik District, Peselidaba District, Mafubi Local, Echimoholo Local, Mokaka Local, Kwate Local, and Mangabung Metro. Lejuputswa District Municipality, Mosilonyana Local, Machibeng, Dala, Tokoloho, and Tswelopele Local Municipality, Tabo Mafutsanyani District, Islabeng Local, Maluti Apafong, Montsapa, Mantapa, Michelwana Local, Umelela Local, Setsoto Local, Harib District, Kopanong, Letsimeng, and Mohakare Local Municipality. Mpumalanga, following districts, Eslazeni District, Gertsabande District, Ngangala District. Eslazeni District, Pushbagrits, City of Mbombela, Kumasi Local, Tabacheu Local, Gertsabande District, Chief Albert Lutuli Local, Dina Laseng Local, Dr. Pixlika Isaka Semi Local, Kobunumbeki, Nekwa, Kondo, Uzuka Lekwa Local Municipality, Ngangala District, Dr. J.S. Maroka, Emakazeni, Emalasleni, Steve Chwete, Tembe, Sile, Hani Local, Peter Kanye Local Municipality. Lopopo, following districts, Capricorn, Upani, Sekukune, Bembe, and the Waterberg District. Capricorn District, Loberg, Nepele, Nkumpi Local Municipality, and Modimole Local, as well as Polokwane Local Municipality. Upani District, Bapolaborwa Local, Great Diani Local, Great Teletaba Local, Great Janine Local, Maruleng Local Municipalities. Sekukune District, Elias Mutsaledi, Ifrai Mohale, Fatehomo Lubatse Local, Makut Damaga Local Municipality. Bembe District, Kolenjabane, Makado, Sina, and Tulamela Local Municipality. Water District, Bela Bela, Lepalale Local, Modile Mokapong Local, Modemole Mokopong Local, Mohomale Kwena, Abazimbi Local. Gauteng, following districts, Sedibeng and the West Rand District. Sedibeng, Mfuleni Local, Lesedi,
Midvale and the city of Tshwane. West Rand, Merafong City Local, Mogale City Local, and Rand West City Local. The Northwest, the following districts: Bojanala Platinum District, Dr. Kenneth Kahunda, Dr. Ruth Tshegomotsi Mompati District, Ngaka Modire Moleme District, Bojanala Platinum District, Gedleng River Local, Madibeng Local, Moratele Local, Moses Kotane Local, Rustenburg Local, Dr. Kenneth Kahunda, the city of Motlatsana Local, Davy Marks Local, Makasi Hills Local, Dr. Ruth Mompati District, Greater Tahung, Kagisomolobo Local, Lekwa Timane Local, Mabusa Local, Naledi Local, Ngaka Motire Moleme District, Itsobotla, Mahikeng, Rohotere Moilau, Ratlu, Twain Local Municipalities. That's it there. And just to indicate that South Africa has provincial houses of traditional leaders in the Eastern Cape, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and the Northwest. That's it there.
Thank you, Ari. I understand that you have struggled with the pronouncement of some of those names.
That, I'm not speaking, Chair.
But you tried your level best, and the members at least could read the see what you are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Except to say that KZN it would have 11, not 10. Ethekwini is a metro. It's not part of. It's not part of the local municipality. Equally, I think in the Eastern Cape, the Buffalo City is not part of Maton. It's a Buffalo City, a metro. I think those are some of the things that I've considered. I've looked at. Honorable members, let's now deal with the issue. There's already a comment from Honorable Mylam. The first one is on the cumbersome nature of the program. We have not identified how many districts we will take in some of these areas. But there is of the view that we must consider engaging with some of those areas through virtual means. That is the first issue. And Honorable Langa then says, if there can be clarity in the nature or form that which is being proposed. And I think I will give Honorable Mylam if he wants to clarify that point. The second thing with regards to the public hearings is that we must take into consideration the areas that may be highly affected with regards to the proposed bill. For an example, areas that will be carrying loads. As far as the petroleum is concerned, or we say these will be highly active areas with regards to petroleum and so forth. Can I then give maybe the first part, Honorable Mylam, to clarify that? And then after that, I will take your hands, Honorable Members. I see then that there will be a hand of Honorable Malinga, there'll be a hand of Honorable Norima. May I assume, Honorable Langa, probably, that or you want that clarity before you raise your hand, or you wanted to comment, but you need the clarity before you comment.
The second one, okay.
Okay, so can I say Honorable, after Honorable, my name is Honorable Langa, then Honorable Lorima, then Honorable Malinga.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, first of all, my point is that and you touched on it rightly, that it was quite cumbersome in terms of the lengthy amount of travel at the time.
Chair, apologies, Chair.
Yes, Honorable.
Mr. Malem has his party logo behind him.
Oh, sorry, I apologize. I apologize, I didn't realize that at all.
Okay.
I apologize.
Okay.
So, as I was saying, the point was, and I think it's been pretty clear, that the amount of time that we spent traveling to the various places for the Gas Amendment Bill should be an indicator of there must be a better way of doing it. And one of the suggestions is that we possibly do hybrid or virtual sessions. And we've proven that this can be done quite effectively with our committee meeting. So the suggestion is that we look at setting up a device and allowing people to come and make submissions to the committee virtually at various places around the country that we identify. We invite them to come sit down, make their presentation, and then we consider it as the committee. I don't know if that would be acceptable, but it's certainly worth considering, both from a time perspective, because as I indicated, the travel that we undertook the last time around, I mean, just the one leg from Mossel Bay to Saldanha was about 4.5 hours of travel time by bus, by car, and I think that was completely over the top. My second point, Chair, when I mentioned it earlier, was that we should consider looking at those areas that are affected. And if I may, Ari, can I share my screen for a second?
Just hold on, Mr. Mylum, let me just give you a right.
Okay.
Where is it now? My co-hosts. You may proceed, Mr. Mylum.
Sure, thank you. Chairperson, I pulled up a map of where there is petroleum development taking place in South Africa. I got this from the South African Oil and Gas Association. It's on their website. And you can see specific areas where there is a lot of petroleum development taking place. So, for example, Sasolburg would be one such place. This area in Limpopo, it's the Soutpansberg, so I'm thinking probably somewhere around Louis Trichardt. This area in the Waterberg is a development area. This area in the Free State and Northern Cape. And over here in KwaZulu-Natal, this is the Ladysmith area where there is some production rice. And then obviously you've got the port areas, Richards Bay, Durban, Buffalo City, Nelson Mandela Bay, Mossel Bay, and then Cape Town and Saldanha and up the west coast. So those were the areas that I was thinking we should concentrate on. But obviously we need to do so in a cost effective and efficient manner that gets through as many as possible as quickly as possible. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, Honorable Lang.
Chairperson, I am traveling. Can I pass? Maybe I'll come after the last person.
Not in a right way. Be able to make a contribution.
Okay. Honorable Lorima.
Thanks, Chair. I just like to ask a sort of first principles question about this. What governs the amount of public participation that we should be doing? Is there a standard we measure ourselves against, because I may be missing out here, but I'm not aware of it. And I'm informed by the last two major legislative exercises that I was involved with, the MPRDA amendment in 2013, where all the public participation was done in session in Cape Town. There were oral submissions. The word went out that anybody who wanted to make an oral submission would be able to do so. People applied, they came and they presented, and that lasted several days in Cape Town. And the gas amendment bill, which, as has been pointed out, was extremely time-consuming, and I'm sure very expensive. I don't know how much it did cost us. And I questioned, Mr. Chair, the effectiveness of that gas amendment bill, public participation, as to the number of substantive changes that would have resulted to the bill from it. Now, we didn't get to see the end process, but I do think we've got to think very carefully about the effectiveness of what we're doing. Thank you.
Honorable Malinga.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself and all members of the Portfolio Committee, our staff, and everybody on the call. Am I audible, Chair? I'm in the bundles and I'm just being on Chair. Chairperson, changing the legislation affects everybody in the country, not only the people where where they only have ports, but legislation affects everybody in the country. Chair, I want to differ with Honorable Maiden on the virtual part, because some of our people do not have a gadget to do that and data. But if the committee says there are provinces where we feel that we can do that virtually, you must think of the rural people who do not have the necessary tools to be on virtual. Chair, engaging communities is what we signed up for as members of parliament, because we said we are the parliament for people. So it means we should be going to people. Maybe what we can be suggesting to the committee staff is to club, because we all come from different provinces. We know which municipalities can be clubbed together. That is why even us in parliament, we have passed a district model. That is when we do a district, maybe if municipalities are four, you club two together in one day, you club another two together in another day. But saying that we must be virtual, and it took a lot of money. For 2 years, we did not do anything in Parliament except to sit on virtual meetings due to COVID. We were not out there to the public to show them what Parliament does, because Parliament is for people to understand how bills are formulated and they make an input on the bill. If we want oral submissions, we should say so and not go to public hearings. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Fuller, is there any other hands? And Honorable Langa, you will tell me when you are no longer on the road. Honorable Kula?
No, thanks, Chairman. Greetings to you, Chairman. Greetings to colleagues in the PC. Chair, I just wanted to raise one thing, that I don't think it is advisable for us to have virtual hearings. I don't think that will work, virtual public hearings. I think the way we've been conducting public hearing is efficient, and we're able to reach a much more larger audience. So I'll persuade the committee that let's go for public hearing as we've been conducting them. I don't think there's any reason for us to do virtual public hearing. I think virtual public hearings will close outside a lot of our people. There are many of our people who do not have money for data. There are many of our people who do not have access to Wi-Fi. but can be able to be transported and some of them walk to public hearings when they are in their localities and nearby. So I think it is advisable, Chair, that let's go for public hearings in a manner in which we have been conducting them, because I think that is the most effective way. Why must we change something that is working? So I don't think the sense that we must have virtual public hearing, really there's no substance to it as far as I'm concerned, Chair. Thanks.
Honorable Langa, are you okay where you are?
Yes, Chair. No, thank you very much, Chair. I'm still not in a good place, but however, both Honorable Malinga and Honorable Pula, I think they have covered me, because Chairperson, the public hearings that we've had, in particular the one that I was part of, the guest amendment bill, I think it was very effective, because you know we were reaching out to the people or to the ground, which is what parliament is supposed to do. You know, maybe with messages, for example, it's easier for them to understand the transformation to the virtual part. But however, with the reasons that are mentioned by Honorable Pula as well, some people do not have even data or gadgets and so forth, but it's easy, it's much easier to transport them to the venues where we will be holding public hearings. And moreover, that people want to see Parliament, you know, they want to see Parliament in person, that we have reached out to them to come and make consultations with them, and that on its own has an effect on the ground. So having said that, Chairperson, I would also like to persuade the committee, you know, to consider continuing as we did with the guest amendment. Thank you very much, Chair.
Members, can we do it this way? First, I can't, the effectiveness, Honorable Lorenzo, of what we do, it solely depends on us as the portfolio committee. And that's what we have to make it, that it does make sense. What is regulating? I'm not sure I reached this clause that is regulating public hearings. It is in the rules of Parliament that public hearings must be conducted. They can be in two folds. If there is a feeling, which is the stage of one pass, if there is a feeling that there is no need and it, that bill does not affect profits, I think I'll try and summarize it, that it doesn't affect profits, then therefore the committee decides to summarize everything within its purview and not conduct public hearings. But when it conducts public hearings, it then has to pay specific some visit in the provinces and conduct public hearings. I think that is the first thing. So being effective, it is exactly it lies with us as the committee. I can't vouch, but I always say I believe when I go to a meeting, a particular way. Anything that can make us efficient and effective, I think that must be taken into consideration. But I think the second part, Honourable Members, I'm not sure, I'm trying to facilitate the meeting going forward, is that there are written submissions. In the written submissions, they allow that we can have, obviously we even conduct them through the virtual platform. Those public hearings allows those members of the public who want to come in there and present to the portfolio committee. That's why we call it oral submissions, because now they'll be talking to the committee through oral on what they would have submitted in writing. But they may even review their submission that is routine. Hence, in the oral submission, it allows them to talk directly to the committee. It doesn't include where that person is, regardless, as long as it's within the four corners of this country. I dare say I may be wrong, even if that person were to be outside with the manner in which now virtual platform is, that person might have to be given a platform to talk to the community. The difference is that prior to COVID, we did not have virtual meetings. Those are the meetings that used to allow now the civil society and everyone who would have made the written submission to come physically into the committee meetings of parliament, committee rooms of parliament, and make that those submission physically. It was not necessarily through virtual, but because of the innovations that were compelled on us by COVID, we now are able to do the virtual meetings. The issue that technically I wouldn't be sure of, Honorable Mylan, is that when you allow written submission and then oral submission, you open and say from this date, that process has already been done. We have researched the committee with the program. We had a time frame where we allowed for written submission and that period closed. When that period closes, we then go for oral submission. Those oral submission are the ones that we say they will be taking place on the 18th. It would, I'm not sure that technically whether Parliament would allow another process which is similar or almost the same, or the same process. But if we were to say, I want to look at, instead of going, I'm making an example, instead of going to the Northern Cape because of the vastness of the problem, when we are in the Northern Cape, we can just have a virtual meeting of all those districts because of the vastness. That would mean what we get exactly what we would have done, what we had already done, opened and closed in that exercise. But also the question would be, then what was the point of going to open up for oral written submission? What will make matters worse is that you are then not conducting public hearings. You are conducting hearings in the form of oral submission. Because public hearings in Israel says go to the people. That is how I understand it to be. Go to the people, and therefore you may have to prove if that bill is challenged in court that no proper consultation was done because we did not follow the prescripts of what is described or defined as public hearings in the rules of parliament. But even if that is the case, it would say what you did, you disadvantaged those who could not attend. You may have to even make a consideration of making particular concessions. Officials are not sure what you can do now. Remember, when you do public hearings, you also provide public transport to the public. Everyone and anyone can have access. The big question would be, can we augment or replace that arrangement of public transport by putting in something to try? The point I think that's what I remember. So it means we may have now to make sure that each and every member of the public must have access to data, and it must have access to a proper network system. Knowing that we are dealing with issues of load shedding and other things, I think that could open up a loophole. But I think there is an issue that, for me, we should not miss what the Honorable Mylan is raising. And I think practically, I don't think we should run away. I take it that there is a request for caution or alert, I must say, from an experience, that if we do this public hearing, the extent of tragedy at least must be managed. We shouldn't have a situation where you travel more than 2 or 3 hours from one place to another place. As we move from one district, we must make it a point that is either, and let me make an example again, I hope I'm getting you correctly, Honorable Mylan. In some cases, instead of, you may have to look at tragedy and its implications. If, for instance, you go to I'm making an example. If you go to the Eastern Cape and you go to what is this place? Windematic is an apartment, and I'm just making an example, which is Bizana. And then you need to go to Amatoni, as another example. It will mean you may have to consider flying from, I think there is now, flying from, what is this place, I hope I'm not popular, Port Shepstone. I think they've got a KMF flight, I'm told, from Port Shepstone to Johannesburg, or from Durban, from Kinshasa to Johannesburg, then Johannesburg to East London. Rather than to take a drive that will take you from Bizana up to East London. I'm just making examples, honorable members. So I think that's what members were saying, including the arrangement that we had, which was quite cumbersome, going to Gasrinet, then going to Gqeberha, sleep in Gqeberha, have a meeting in Gqeberha, and then the following day you drive, you go past Gasrinet, a place that you should have been there, and then from, because you are going to, where was this place, Beaufort West. I think that to me must be considered the traveling time. One other example I said, it could be a difficult one, is what members say, honorable, again, we have to take into consideration. Some of the distances are 2 hours away. When we were in the Northern Cape, we went to, I just forget that place where we were. It could have been a situation of landing in the Northern Cape, in Kimberley, go to that place in the morning and then come back and sleep again in Kimberley. So it means you are stationed in Kimberley, then you travel to Bloemfontein. I think those are the things we have, honorable Milam. I think those we have to take them into consideration when we do the program. Yes, honorable members, it doesn't mean we take all the distance. We're just trying to plug the district so that you can see. For instance, we can't take all 11 districts in KZN. I think this KZN has the highest number of municipalities. If I'm not mistaken, second is Eastern Cape, then Limpopo. We will have to look at, honorable members, how we try and manage those districts, and in such a way that it also accommodates effective traveling, and so that members do not feel that we are not they are being stressed. Let's give it anyway, honorable Milam, I'm not sure. You know, when we did the gas amendment bill, I'll be honest with you, I was one of the people who identified areas, including Gasrinet and other areas. I was one of those people. But when the gas amendment bill, I started to interact with it and understand it and listening even to public comments, that is when we had to change the tune. Remember, at that time, if I'm not mistaken, Ari, you can assist. One province I know we didn't have, and I think it was that province at Limpopo. It was Northwest. We then realized that in terms of the bill, like I said, will affect all the provinces. And therefore, if it has got implications for all the provinces, we will not be able to justify why we could not visit those other provinces. But maybe let's take what you say, that as we do the program of the district, we need to prioritize some of the areas where there is high petroleum activity taking place. I think that, to me, is something that I don't think it is something that we can ignore. Whereas we prune down the districts, we will also take into consideration the areas that we think that they will require priority as far as this bill is concerned. But we will cover almost every province and try by all means to accommodate as much as possible in terms of the district. I'm not sure whether that, honorable members, does not cover your concerns or your views on the bill. I tried to give clarity, and I wanted to check if there is agreement. Then can I get someone that with those proposed, I don't want to say amendments, additions for consideration, can I get someone that who in principle agrees that we go ahead with the public hearings in the manner that it is outlined, including cutting down. You will come back to yourselves, obviously, with the proposed areas even before the end of this term. Probably I read and say these are the areas that we think will require to be visited. And as I say, members, they come from different provinces. They know many of their provinces. Can you assist us at least in terms of what? It doesn't mean we'll take what we prioritize, but it will help us to assist the staff just to guide them on the areas where we think we can. But equally, I take the point, Honourable Mylan, but sometimes the issue of constituency offices, allow me to say for a few seconds that at times our constituency offices were highly politicized then. I'm sorry to say this, and I'm not sure what could be the implications if we want to. We should be utilizing, but I can safely say we can utilize them only in terms of mobilization. I think that then it must go in hand there in terms of mobilization and popularizing. What I think we have to do, Ari, for each especially member of this committee, when we have prepared those Molanyana notes, let's deposit them in the email addresses of members. If possible, yourselves, honorable members, you can give us the email addresses of your constituency offices. The rest of how then it goes to our own colleagues in terms of our respective parties, that will only be a sole mandate and the sole responsibility of each member of this committee. Can we then, if we agree on that, can we then get someone who will move the proposed program? It's 2 minutes past 10. I'm prepared to wait until 2 minutes past 1.
Okay.
Okay, Honorable Malinga is moving. Is there any second?
Yes, yes, Chairperson. I second.
Thank you, Honorable Langa, on that. Ari, is there any other matter?
No, Chair, just to indicate that we still have another meeting on Tuesday. Let me just check quickly. Tuesday at 9, briefing by the DMRE on the status of the Mining Rehabilitation Fund, briefing by the DMRE on the investigation relating to the three regional officers in the Popo, Mpumalanga in the Northwest, and then an update on the cadastral option of minutes to November, Chair. That's the meeting for next week, Tuesday, the 8th, starting at 9, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. The meeting stands adjourned.
Chair, can you stay behind quickly?
Okay. Hey, caucus.
Please, Chair.
Okay.
Hey, this caucus is Chair.
you can stay behind as well, Mr. Mormaran. It's fine.
Ooh.